Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. All this week we've been looking at the identifying marks of the Antichrist as part of a detailed study of the end times, which is ultimately based on Matthew chapter 24. We are studying what the Bible says about the influence this man will possess in the political, financial, and religious areas. Thus far this week, we've looked at the political power the Antichrist will possess in the last days. Our study today will continue to look at this political power, as well as offer you some reasons how the entire world will be deceived by this man. It's an interesting question, is how can one man claim to be God and the entire world follow after him when actually he is a false Christ? The bottom line is the Bible predicts that in the last days what is going to take place is that things aren't going to get better, but they're going to get a lot worse. And in desperate times, when people aren't able to put food on the table, they start looking for some sort of charismatic leader to rise up. And they really do not care what their political opinions are, or really their religious opinions as well, as long as they put food on the table or bring in some sort of peace. I think a good example of what happened in Nazi Germany, that when they were in desperate times financially, there was a leader that rose up that they were willing to follow by the name of Hitler. And they really didn't check in or examine the exact things that he believed politically as well as religiously. And I think even our own nation, unfortunately, has come under that same sort of influence where they have overlooked the indiscretions of President Clinton. And they said, well, financially we're doing okay, so why rock the boat? All they were worried about is their financial pocket, not the moral atmosphere or climate of what was happening in the presidency. That is the nature of man, is to overlook things when someone is able to bring them into financial prosperity. And I find it interesting, God's opinion or God's response of the entire world coming under one kingdom, or having the world all united together as one. We see that that's what man was trying to do way back in Genesis chapter 10 through 11, where they were building the Tower of Babel. They wanted to unite under one empire. And God intervened, and he didn't allow this, because Genesis 11 verse 6 says this, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing they propose to do will be withheld from them." And God saw that their evil intentions, as they unite under one figurehead, under one nation, under one language, under one purpose, of all the evil they could bring into the world. So that's when God scattered them and dispersed the nations. He didn't want them to be all united together unless that was all united under his sovereignty. When the world unites under one other figurehead outside of one that's ruled or ordained by God, only evil will persist. That's exactly what the Bible predicts will happen in the last days. That man, when he unites together under one religious political empire, will bring in great destruction. It will not be a blessing for man for the nations to unite together, because ultimately they'll resist the sovereign control of the God who created them. And the Bible definitely gives us a clear picture in the book of Revelation as to what the goal and agenda of the Antichrist and what he will do politically. In Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, it reads this way, "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority." So we definitely know from Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, that the dragon is the devil. So the dragon is behind this beast. And this beast is a symbol of an empire that will exist in the last days. Verse 2 mentions the leopard, the bear, and the lion. Those are all images that are found in the book of Daniel, which refer to political empires. So what we see here is that in the last days, a political empire is going to be raised up, that the devil is the one that's going to give authority to this kingdom. Verse 3 says, "And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast." So they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast and who is able to make war with him?" So this last world empire is going to have a giant military power as well. If the world is going to be asking, who's able to make war against this king? So as these 10 nations come together and form this last empire, they will have a strong military base as well. Verse 5 says, "And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months or for 3.5 years. And notice this Antichrist, he's always blaspheming God and always blaspheming God's people and persecuting the saints. Verse 6 goes on to say, "Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And it was granted him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation." So we definitely see that God is going to allow the Antichrist and his kingdom to have a great military power, and through that, be able to have authority over tribes, tongues, and nations, and be able to bring that influence, which will be destructive, into the world. It will not be a blessing for mankind. He will bring in a false peace. He'll bring in a false blessing, which will eventually turn upon the heads of those who dwell in that kingdom. Now, the second passage here out of Revelation 13 in verses 11 through 18 also describes another helper that is going to be involved in this last world empire. Typically, we call him the false prophet, but it's referred to as another beast. Maybe we should call him the vice beast. Verse 11 says, "Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon." Here it begins to describe that religious aspect of the empire. Here he had horns like a lamb, presenting himself or presenting this religion as a true following of Jesus Christ, but he's going to speak like a dragon, which means deception, which is false Christ, antichrist. Verse 12, it says, "And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed." Verse 13 says, "He performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived." So this is one of the reasons that many will follow the Antichrist. It's because he's going to have a strong political power. He's going to have a strong military to enforce his will, but also because he's going to have a co-worker that's able to do miracles, and that co-worker is going to direct people to worship this man as God. Now, here the scriptures do speak of this deadly wound that's being healed. And David Hawking sees a deadly wound as the empire being raised back to life, which would be a miracle in itself, or one man to raise up an empire which has such influence. That hasn't happened since Rome was in charge. Others see it as a resurrection or a false resurrection. Hal Lindsey is one that would support that viewpoint, and he gave an excellent example of using John F. Kennedy, of just thinking of how the world saw John F. Kennedy die, and let's say he came back to life and said, "I have answers from the other side of the grave," how much influence and power he would have been able to have. And that may be what's being described here in Revelation 13 as well. And through that, the false prophet is going to be able to direct people to worship the Antichrist and to worship his kingdom and follow after him and give him allegiance that only God is deserving of. The other passage we should look at is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, which once again gives us indication as to why people will follow this Antichrist and be deceived by him. The other passage that we should look at is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, which also helps us understand how so many people could be deceived in the last days and follow this man as God. These verses read as follows. "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved." And so here, once again, the Antichrist will do lying signs and wonders. He will perform miracles. And people will say, this man has great military might, he has a political kingdom influencing over the world, and then he's also able to do the miraculous. And people will view this man as God and want to submit their allegiance to him, and he is going to be working through deception. That's where we see that the dragon, the devil, is the one that gives him power to do these lying signs and wonders. Now, verse 10 tells us why people would be so gullible. It says, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And that's such a crucial passage of scripture for us in the last days, that we need to have a love for the truth, a love for the study of the Word of God. And the bottom line is, if you love God's word, you will not be deceived. And loving God's word means you want to submit to it, you want to follow it. When the Bible says something about our life, we agree with it rather than argue with it. We embrace it. We receive it willingly, and it bears good fruit within our life. And if we will receive the word of God, that way we don't have to worry about how the end times is going to come out, because we're going to be armed and prepared, because we have a love for the truth, and we're going to want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will not be deceived. But also added to this deception, it doesn't only come from the devil himself. God's permitting it. Verse 11 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says this, "And for this reason, because they didn't receive a love for the truth, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie." And the lie in the context here is that this man, who is just a human, is claiming to be God, and they will worship him as God. And it says, because they didn't receive the love of the truth, God will send them strong delusion. And so here it's not just Satan who is at work, but God is now permitting this delusion to take place, and people will be drawn into this false belief that this man is truly God. But it all starts with man's heart. Man rejects the truth, doesn't receive a love for the truth. Therefore, as the book of Romans says, God turns them over to their depraved minds and their depraved desires. So it's because man rejects the truth that God turns them over. This whole process is going to be taking place with great intensity in the last days. It's taking place now, but not with the same intensity that will happen in the last days. There'll be great demonic deception in the last days, and God will permit it. And those who do not have a love for the truth, those are the ones that are going to be deceived. So I encourage you and challenge you to study God's word, to make sure you know doctrine, to make sure you know the fundamentals of the faith, to make sure that you're in a good church where they're teaching you the scriptures and not just throwing a few scriptures at you, but they're really giving you solid Bible teaching. That is preserving your soul. That is bringing security to your own life and to your family. It's a must, especially in these last days. I pray that you have a love for the Word of God. It's such a safeguard, and it brings such a blessing to your life. And our supreme desire here at Solid Ground is to help you understand God's Word, to help you understand doctrine, to help you be able to determine truth from error. And we can help you in any way in doing that, either by the correspondence courses that we offer or offering you tapes of the many studies that we've done here on Solid Ground. Please contact us at our new toll-free number, which is 1-877-941-LAMB. Or you can contact us on the web at www.calvarylm.org.